Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. I'm your host, Robert Imbrielli, and I have a really, really, really fun show in store for you today. Hang on. We're going to get started. Welcome to another episode of Coach's Corner. Look inside for the answers to a more successful you. This is episode number 56 of Empowerment for Entrepreneurs. Today's episode is sponsored by The Marketing Network. TheMarketingNetwork.tv, profitable marketing training for business owners who want to get results fast. Save 25% on your membership when you use offer code COACH at checkout. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. I am so really happy to be here today. It's so much fun to do these, and I haven't done them in a couple of weeks. I've been busy with a conference that I've been building, as you guys may have been aware if you're on my mailing list. I've been telling you all about it. If you follow me on Facebook, I'm sure you've seen information about that. But I wanted to get back today and really get back to the roots of coaching. Coach's Corner is a platform really where we get to talk about coaching and the not just the process of coaching, but also giving you, the entrepreneur, the business owner, advice and hints and strategies to help you be more successful, make more money, have more fun in your business. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to bring in another fellow coach, but not someone local. This has been a lot of fun. This is someone literally on the other side of the world, someone from Australia that we get to speak with today. We're going to be speaking to Melanie live from Australia, and this is a real thrill, a real treat. Let me tell you a little bit about Melanie. She is amazing. Her name is Melanie Taylor. I should give you the full name, right? Because there's a lot of Melanies in this world. She's the Chief Energy Officer. I love that title. She's the author of Success on Purpose. In just 4 short years, Melanie has helped hundreds of professionals on the verge of burnout. I think we can all relate to that. Discover the easy ways of reclaiming balance and success in life. She is a highly sought after speaker, and I can attest to the fact that she's highly sought after because it was really hard to find time in her calendar to get her to come on to spend some time with us today. She was a palliative care nurse for 20 years, and through her own experience of burnout, anxiety, and depression, a lot of us can relate to that. Melanie learned that it's not sustainable to keep giving without receiving. Yes, this is the bane of all coaches, right? We give until we don't have anything else left in us, and that's not the way to go. Productivity comes through alignment of strengths, values, and having a clear focus and vision. And I am so happy to introduce you to my new friend, Melanie. Melanie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, and here you are. You're in Melbourne, Australia.
Yes.
It's tomorrow late in the day here for me, but I couldn't wait to have you on board. So thank you for coming here.
Well, thank you so much. This is really
Let's
fun.
Talk about a little bit about your backstory. Your backstory is what really fascinated me, that you came from a situation where you were literally helping people transition, right? Those last moments and before they passed on and they transitioned out. And there was a lot of experience, I'm sure, talking to these people and what they regret most or what they wish they had done in life and didn't do. And tell us a little bit about that, because that fascinated me when we had that conversation.
Yeah, it is. I feel very, very blessed, very grateful to have been on this amazing journey. And I've been able to see life with a whole different lens that a lot of people, I think, don't get the privilege of seeing. And that is how short life is, really. And really, for me, life is about actually enjoying it, because what I learned through the palliative care is that we're so wired to work hard, to be successful, to build amazing businesses, have amazing, portfolios, all sorts of things. And in that space is that we forget about what really matters. And then I've worked with so many people that work so hard and they had, so organized, working, beautifully for their family to create, a beautiful wealth and also a beautiful retirement. And then they would get to that space of retirement and they've got everything, all their ducks, lined up in a row, and they've got the caravan or the amazing holiday organized. And then so many times I saw one of the partners get sick and they got cancer, and then they actually died. And so then everything that they'd worked so hard for was, and all, you know, they're, it's what I learned is we're so good at going when I do this, I'll do this. When this happens, then I can do that. And I just realised that there is no when. You've really got to live in the now. And I'm really about teaching people about what's really important to them and reprioritising life so that we're not working ourselves so hard and then not able to enjoy those fruits, those riches that we work so hard for. So, yeah, it's really and being kind to ourselves, because that's stress response. And I was so privileged to have some amazing conversations over my 20 years with patients. And, you know, a lot of them knew when they got sick, and they'd say, oh, I know it was that time in my life and I was going through so much stress that I know that that was when I've actually contracted, you know, this cancer. And I thought, wow, you know, we've really got to do, we've got to learn how to do life differently. And, you know, I learned from them, but I was doing it. I was doing exactly what they were saying not to do. So I'm so grateful that they helped me so much. And then I really started to change my life. And as you said in my intro about the burnout, the anxiety, the depression, I was forcing through life. I'm achiever's my number one strength. And I was doing that from a space of force and fear and just charging through life and doing life really hard. And thankfully in 2010, I broke my wrist, and it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and it was a massive wake-up call that I had to stop doing life the way I was doing and actually start listening to what my patients were telling me, because I was such a stubborn thing and I loved to give, but I was hopeless at receiving. And slowly, actually, this is very interesting, I'll share this, that do you know where I had my big wake-up call? Was in Las Vegas. I was on a road trip. I'd just gotten my plaster off my arm, and I was on a trip with 30 friends. We went over there for a 30th, and we were doing a road trip from San Fran to Vegas, and I was in the car and I was just sleeping on and off because I was so exhausted. I was actually doing a postgrad at the time as well. And yeah, it was when I was, that's so interesting, when I was in the car and I was in and out of sleep, just catching up, I was so exhausted. And it was like my higher self started talking to me. It's like, oh, you're really mean to yourself. You see how destructive you are. It's time to be a bit kinder. And, yeah, and that was a real massive turning point. And then I came back and I started to learn. I actually started to be mentored myself, but I learned how to do life.
You have a great perspective, and like you say, I think you're really thankful for those people you had the opportunity to spend time with, because it's true. We're all on the treadmill. We're just running and running and running and running, and it's like, well, we'll be happy when we have the $1 million in the bank, or we'll be happy when the business is doing what it's supposed to be doing, or we'll be happy when we have the right relationship, or we'll be happy when we lose the weight, or when we, you know, it's like, but why not today? Why not now?
Yeah, that's right. It is. It's coming back. It's gratitude. It's living in gratitude for what we have now. That's
exactly. Amazing. And it's like, why don't we talk about it more?
Yeah, because I think our measure of success and worth is based on money, you know, how much money you have. And so we're always working towards that, striving towards that, and in that actually, well, killing ourselves really with so much stress.
So what else did you had a lot of great experiences, and I love your story about breaking your wrist and that did you stop working at that time? Because that's what I read into that. It's like you broke your wrist, you probably stopped working and realized, wow, what am I doing? I'm burning myself out here.
No, I was too stubborn for that, Robert.
Were you? And you kept
anyone
going.
Wow. This is how I show like, I'm very congruent with my message. Like, everything I say is I was the total opposite to it. I was the worst case probably out there. So now I love that, because I know I can help anyone because I was the most stubborn. And coming from a nurse, and also I was brought up from the country as well, and so I was very much taught is you give to everybody else. And so that was just my normal. And then I didn't know how to receive. I didn't know how to receive a compliment. I was very uncomfortable in that space.
Okay, that's something we got to stop you right there, because that's something that's massive for people. They just don't know how to receive. They don't know how to be appreciative because it's uncomfortable to receive for a lot of people.
It is.
So how did you learn that? What did you have to go through to learn how to be a receiver?
Well, I had to actually start to see myself and have gratitude, because I was my hardest critic. I would force and push myself and nothing was ever good enough.
Always, yes.
So I had to start to get into my subconscious and work out my belief systems and where they came from. And that's why I do so much inner child work now, so that I could start to change my reality and start to be kind and rewire my brain, really, so that I could actually see myself. And
so I'm going to stop you again. You hit another hot button with me, is doing the inner child work.
Yeah.
How many of us do that? How many of us just ignore that and don't recognize the fact that we've got stuff from our childhood that we're carrying through our adult life that's affecting how we go through life and what we do?
All roads lead to the inner child.
They do.
I realize that now. I really do.
So tell us a little bit about what you did to do that kind of work and what got you started down that path, because that is that's the key to happiness, I think.
Yeah, it is. Well, after I got back from America, I then finished off my postgrad and did really well, got ducks and won the Order of Malta Award, and, you know, it was a massive big deal. And then I had a big epiphany. I was like, geez, if I can achieve all of this when I'm being so mean and cruel to myself, imagine what I could achieve when I'm being nice to myself.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year after my postgrad, I went overseas and I did some volunteer work in Nepal, teaching some other nurses in palliative care. And I spent 2 weeks in a room with a friend who was also a colleague, and she spoke about this mentor that she was seeing, and she spoke about limiting belief systems. And I was like, oh, my God. I said, I've got every one of them and more. I've got all of those limiting beliefs. I need to see this mentor. And so then when I got back in January, I rang up this mentor and I started working with her, Rosa, in Sydney. She was based in Sydney, so we did all our work over the phone. And she helped me to really uncover those belief systems that were really ingrained in all of me, in my cells and my body and my brain, so that I could start to release them. And then I've learned over time that it's really related to, we have what we call inner child roles. One of them is the nurse, who's the carer, who looks after everybody else. And another one is the parent, who parents everyone. And I realized that I became a parent at a very young age, when my dad had a really bad accident when I was 6. And then later on when I was 12, my little sister was born. And I took on all of these roles then. And in that space, I took on giving. Give. And I took on that belief system that there was no time for me, there was no time to receive, I have to look after everybody else.
The giving role is really interesting, because it's taught in all our religions. It's taught in all our schools. Our parents teach us that. And it's like, you got to give. But you miss the point if you don't give to yourself first.
So true. You know, because
it's easy to get empty.
I had to work it out the hard way. I had to get smacked around by the universe, because, yeah, that was, I was from the country, you know, that's all you did. You just gave. And I thought up as well.
Mm. I did too. And I spent a lot of time, you know, with that and giving, to the point when I first started in coaching back in, what, 1995, 96, somewhere in that range. And I would give until I had nothing left. I would come home, literally fall on the couch and not have the energy to make dinner. Mm. You know, and I was like, okay, that was sort of extreme. That was way too far. And my health didn't keep going. I mean, I just got sick at the end of that, because it's crazy. There was no time for me. You know, but I was so passionate about coaching, and I loved the feeling of helping people and changing their lives and stuff. I just wanted to do it all day, and I was. 8, 10, 12, 14-hour days of coaching is way too much, you know?
Wow.
So I think, you know, we have a similar story in that we both went through burnout, you know, and we've learned from it. And we said, okay, this isn't the way. There's got to be a better way. What is that way? What do we need to do?
Yeah, that's right. Because otherwise you're ripping everybody else off, because there comes a point in time where you can't do it anymore.
Right. And are you really at your best when you're low in energy?
No.
No, yeah, not at all, right?
Barrel.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So yeah,
tell us a little bit about burnout, and that's a common issue with a lot of coaches, a lot of people that are in business. We work 12, 14, 16, 18-hour days, 7 days a week sometimes, and don't take time to relax and take care of ourselves. What message do you have to share with those people?
Yeah, well, you really and look, it's not easy. I'll be honest, it's not easy when your brain is wired a whole different way, and what comes up is the guilt. And I just teach people, and with myself, like it still comes up now, is that you just sit with that guilt and you just take action anyway. An example of that is recently, it was about maybe a month ago, I went away on the weekend with all my friends. It was two houses of us. And then it came to Sunday, and I had in my mind that I was going home. I was going to go home and, get ready for the week. And they're all saying to me, Mel, you're staying the night? And I'm like, oh, am I? I'd planned to go home. And I was like, they were my higher self talking to me. And then what came up for me was so much guilt. I felt so uncomfortable. I was like, oh, but I've got to go back and, get into the working week. And I just sat with that guilt, sat with the uncomfortableness, and I went, okay, I know this is a really great growth for me. I'm actually going to stay. So then I stayed. And we had the best afternoon. We watched movies and just relaxed. And then I was actually the last to leave on the Monday. And I had the most amazing week, because I was so rested. Everything just flowed in, and it was just amazing. So it was a really great moment to capture for my mind. It was like, okay, so this is what happens when you look after yourself, I was really full, and then I was just in such a great space of service to others as well.
Yeah, a little self-care goes a long way. I mean, I noticed that too in my own world. If I work through the weekend, sometimes I work Saturday and then do a little bit on Sunday, and then Monday comes and it's like I'm down here when my energy really needs to be up here to start the week.
Yeah, because you want to give your best to everyone. That's how I work. And I learned that from being a nurse, because you have to always have a happy face on. And, I would, when I was on the wards, I'd be in one room and someone might be dying and I might be quite young. It would be horrific, and I'd be quite upset about it. And then I have to walk into the next room and pretend like nothing's happened. Oh, hello, how are you going? Can I get you anything or whatever? And that was really draining and really exhausting. And so now I want to be the best that I can be and for my clients, but also for myself, so that then my battery's not getting depleted.
Well, that's the key, right? So you got to be the best you can be for you. You got to take care of you first. And this message, if you had nothing else to share and you only got this message across to the world, that's all you'd need.
Yeah.
Because people don't know this. We don't recognize it. And like, where do the cancers come from? Where are the real causes of the cancers, right? Where does all this illness come from?
Stress. Our body can't do it for so long. It's not designed. We're designed to have a bit of adrenaline going on, a bit of cortisol, to give us that heightened awareness. But it's not designed to be secreted for so long. It damages us. It causes inflammation, breakdown. So we've got to listen. We don't listen. And that's another thing I'll just say, Robert, is that all of my patients would say, I saw the signs, they were there for such a long time, but they didn't have, have time, too busy to stop and listen.
Yeah. I think that the too busy thing is an excuse. And I think why the too busy is, and I can speak from my personal experience, it's always fear.
Yeah.
Right. So fear of missing out, fear of, I can't be away from the business for that long. I don't know what's going to happen. It can't run without me. I need to be there. I've got clients who might call. I've got, right? So there's a fear energy that traps you.
It's not the energy. I've actually unpacked this a lot, is it's actually our addiction to guilt. Because our body is just, we're addicts to our emotions, and we're much more addicted to the fear-based emotions, which is guilt. And so it takes time, and that's why it's really uncomfortable to move towards love and being relaxed, because our body is actually so wired and so addicted to the guilt emotions. So that's why you've got to really work through them and release them and not judge them and allow them to be there, so that then you can actually you rewire your body, so then it starts to secrete love-based emotions.
Yeah.
And get addicted to them, which I am now, which is wonderful.
Tell me a little bit about society where you are, how it differs from where we are, because the conditioning here, the media is overtly negative and it is designed to scare you constantly. So people are always kind of like running around crazed, always afraid. Is it the same where you are?
Actually, we had this conversation last night. I was at my brother's and sister-in-law's and my mum was there. And, yeah, I suppose it's the same because I don't have a TV, which I think is really – I used to think was really weird. I used to think people didn't have TVs were weird. I'm like, you're a hippie. And I turned into that person. And it was from – I used to watch the morning news, you know, the morning shows before I went to work nursing. And I was just so drained and upset all the time. And then I'd get to work and I'd be like, oh, my God, this has happened, that's happened. And, you know, just feeling so washed out before I even started work. And then so slowly I just stopped watching the news. And then slowly I just stopped watching telly. And then I suppose as I shared about that addiction to love and positivity, and I just wanted to be around more of that. So I just chose, you know, now I just don't watch TV. I just watch, you know, really positive, enlightening movies, read books, catch up with friends. And, yeah, it's amazing. So I was saying last night how I don't miss it. And, yeah, we were actually having that conversation about how it is, you know, it's not all bad. There is some good things, of course, but the majority is you hear how bad the world is and what's going on, and it absolutely puts you in fear. So I think you have to make a decision at some stage, especially being an entrepreneur, because, yeah, one of my first mentors said that if you want to change the world, you have to be an entrepreneur, you know, and you have to really come from a high vibration to make a difference. So I had to start to exclude anything that was causing me to be, you know, in a lower vibration.
That is an amazing piece of advice. If you want to change the world, you have to be an entrepreneur. It really is true, because we are in so many ways the catalyst, the energy of so much of society. We don't really get credit for it all the time, but it really is true. We are that. You know, we're the ones looking at the disaster and seeing the opportunity that might be there. You know, we're the ones who can find opportunity in most, pretty much everything. I mean, I don't know about you as an entrepreneur, but I mean, that I go through the day looking at how I can make things better. It's always my question.
You're always looking for, I'm always looking for solutions. I'm always excited for people that are going through challenging times, because I see the other side and I'm like, wow, you've manifested this because you're so powerful, you know, to learn more about yourself, your resilience, your strengths. And I'm like, right, let's find the gift in this situation. And you can really turn that negative into a positive instantly.
So tell me about your transition into a person who, instead of is addicted to guilt, is now addicted to love. And how did you make that? Because that's a big transition.
Yeah, look, it's taken time.
And I'm sure.
And from, 2010 when I broke my wrist, then I started being mentored the January 2011. So it's been from then until now that I have worked consistently on myself, being mentored. Now I study metaphysics and do workshops, and I've done so much work. I spend a fortune, absolute fortune, on myself every year, and I wouldn't have it any other way, because I have to invest in myself. And then as I do that, I just find that then I have so much more wealth and experience and a safe energy for my clients to drop into, because I was riddled with fear, absolutely riddled with fear. I learned to be very addicted to fear as a child when I was really young, and I had to work through all of those fears and constantly stepping out of my comfort zone. Like what I'm doing now was my greatest fear, being seen. I was very shy, very quiet, and I never wanted to be seen. I had really bad acne growing up, really bad anxiety, and yeah, I'd rather have not been seen and not heard. And
we have a similar story, you and I, on that one, because I was super shy too. I was telling somebody I was interviewing yesterday about that, and she couldn't believe it. She goes, "You shy? No way." And it's like, yeah, I was the same way. I wouldn't want to be seen. I wouldn't speak in front of two people. I'd be too nervous, you know. And now all of a sudden you look at where we are, and we're both out there and in the public eye. We don't mind being on camera. We don't mind stepping out in front of large audiences. It's fine.
It is now, because I've learned who I am, and I just be that. Wow. For so long I was trying to be someone else or something else.
Yeah, trying to be someone else, but they're already taken, so you got to be you, you know?
Yeah, it's so true, but it was a long process for me to learn who am I? Who am I in this world? I didn't actually really know, because I was so in service of everybody else. It's like, oh, who am I? What do I even want? Or what do I even need out of life?
That's a good point. You know, we do get caught up in what other people are doing, and what are they thinking, and what are they saying, and what are they feeling, and, you know, our energy and our focus is on them all the time, but it's never on us. Mm-hmm. And I think you figured out that the real power is when you turn the spotlight back on you and you say, okay, what's going on with this person? Yeah. And how can I help this person be better?
And it's coming from the heart space. Like, when I say be selfish, I say that with a capital S. And selfish means to be more like self. And I know that there's the ego-based being selfish, but it's about being selfish and coming from the heart space, which is a totally different energy. And then when you're serving yourself, you're automatically serving everyone around you as well.
Yeah, and I see that very clearly in your work. I see that in how you're stepping up and you know, little XOs at the end of every message. And it's like you're sending out this love, but you can't do that unless you love yourself.
Yeah.
So, you know, a person says, well, I'm just going to fake it. I'm just going to pretend that I love everybody, but they don't love themselves. What do they end up with? At the end of their life, they usually commit suicide.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't feel the love, and the love has to come from you. It can't come always from other people, because other people aren't always there to tell you that.
Look, it's huge, Robert. It really only comes from within. That's the thing, because your brain actually makes those emotions, which then get secreted into your body. The love is in your body. But we think that it actually does come from everyone else or things or, I don't know, material wealth. But it does actually come from within. It's a cellular expression, but it's... the rewiring of the brain to actually get that. I remember the day that I really got that, and it was, I'd been on a silent retreat, and I came back and I was reading the book Journey Home. And because I've got quite a science background as well, and a lot of the work I do is based in that, because I like to understand everything, so I connect to spirituality and the science. And one day I just got it, and I was like, wow, that's the only love, is the love of self. And that has, just really transformed me and my world, and is transforming my clients and everyone around to start to behave differently. Because then, you're very, and that, this is what I realized as a nurse, is I was so incongruent. I was so loving to everybody else, but not to myself. So then I had to really shift my way so that then I was congruent. I was very loving to them because I was actually loving to myself as well.
Well, that's a big thing, right? So we talk about coaching, we talk about business owners, and we want to portray this persona, if you will, and oftentimes it's fake, it's not real, and there's no self-love. And I don't know about you, but I can always feel that. You know, when you work with someone, or you call them, or you speak with them on the phone, you can always feel when it's empty inside.
Yeah. The beauty of this work is that you just get more full of love. You become more intuitive, so life becomes easier. You actually get out of your brain, and then you just have a knowing about things. So we use that innate gift or power that's within us that has always been there, but we didn't have the opportunity to recognize because we were so busy. So that's the beautiful thing, is that it's in everyone. It's and it's accessible, but you have to actually stop and slow down to find it, which is the challenge.
Well, let's do this then. Let's give our listeners, our viewers, some steps they can take to get from where they are to where you are. What are some things you would recommend that they start thinking about, or maybe take action on?
Yes, the number one is we need oxygen. So important. The only thing, there's nothing more important in this world is oxygen. And what we don't do is give ourselves enough oxygen. I'm a massive advocate of deep breathing. I don't really like the word meditation as such, because then we can have judgments around that. It's like, oh, that's hard, I can't do that. But the most important thing is to deep breathe and take deep breaths. And just to share the science behind that is when you actually take a deep breath, you stretch the vagus nerve, which is down in the bottom of your stomach, and that sends a message to your brain to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the relaxation response, which is the opposite to the stress response. So we've got these induced systems to help us relax, but we are so busy we forget to use them. So I say start with 5 minutes. Or even what, you know, sometimes I have one client came to my workshop and he's just going to start with in the shower. He's a big, busy businessman. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm just going to start in the shower and just take some deep breaths. So fantastic. You just want to start somewhere and then you can build on that. But yeah, really taking deep breaths and oxygenating your body and just starting to teach. I had to totally teach my body how to relax because it was absolutely wired to anxious and well, fear. But yeah, that's my number one.
I see that. You know, when you talk about deep breathing and yoga and you know things that really require that kind of thing, it's really difficult if you haven't done it. It's incredibly difficult for some reason to get started. But once you get the habit of it, then it becomes easier and easier.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, you know, you look at little babies and it takes time to crawl and then or turn over and then crawl and then walk and then run. So, you know, it's the same thing. You've just got to be patient. But you've just got to be persistent. And I say do a 30-day challenge.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
And that's how I started. And I remember it was the 1st of September and I'd been life wasn't making sense to me anymore and I was a bit inquisitive and I was like, I don't really believe in all this stuff anymore. I love a lot of things about, you know, Catholicism, but there's a lot of it that didn't make sense to me as well. And so I went on this journey of discovery and studying and different religions, and I came across Brahma Kumaris, and it really resonated with me. And I started to – they talked about past lives and things.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of started to make sense to me. I thought, yeah, that makes more sense to me than heaven where there's all these souls just kicking around in heaven. And I thought, there'll be trillions of souls just kicking around in heaven. So then, yeah, it just started to...
Oh, you and I have the same exact story. Growing up Catholic, yep, I'm there, I got it.
So then I started the 1st of September and I did the challenge for me. And every day I just sat and I did my deep breathing. And I think because I'm always, you know, used to be very hard on myself, of course I did 15 minutes or something ridiculous. And there's a lot of times where you don't feel like it and your body will, because we're designed to move us away into our comfort zone. So I say do it and do it badly. So just sit there, even if sometimes you can't be bothered breathing, you just do it and you set that intention that you matter and you have time for yourself and you just do it every day and then it starts to become, you know, a habit. And for me, it's like cleaning my teeth. I just never forget to clean my insides, give myself a bit of oxygen each day, and it just sets me up just to feel really relaxed and in a nice energy for the day.
Well, it's making yourself a priority, isn't it? That's exactly what you want to be doing. You want to make yourself the priority of the day rather than, you know, that to-do list that never seems to get done. There's always more on that list. And, you know, you wake up in the morning and the first thing on your mind is, okay, what do I need to get done today? You're already in motion before you take time for you. That's most of us go through that.
Yeah.
So you had to force it a little bit to say, I'm taking these 15 minutes, leave me alone. I'm not doing anything until I take care of me.
Yeah, and now I've built that up so much that I have at least an hour now in my day that's just for me doing all of these different things, which I can share more about. And that actually doesn't even include the exercise. I love doing exercise as well. But you've just got to start somewhere. That's the thing, is just start somewhere and then slowly it builds. Because sometimes you can't see that you could have. I remember Tony Robbins talking about 20 minutes in a day, and I was like, wow, how do you find 20 minutes in a day? It's amazing. You just start, and then it's like things just start to open up, and you just find more time for yourself because life starts to slow down, actually. You start to get more done because you're not spiraling, as you say, on that treadmill where you're so unproductive. I realized how unproductive I was.
I find that too. It's like the longer I work, the longer hours, I'm less productive than if I only have 3 hours in a day to get stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, I get more done in 3 hours sometimes than I do in 8 or 10.
Yeah.
You know, when you realize that there's that block, and then if you're taking that time for yourself, this is brilliant, by the way. I'm loving what you're sharing. So let's go on, because oxygen is number one. What's number two?
What's my number two?
What's the number two way to move out of this frenetic life that we all have into a more calm, peaceful, loving life? So oxygen, I love this breathing. It's not meditation. It's not necessarily yoga. You mentioned exercise. Is that on the list as well?
Yeah, I love exercising.
Tell me more.
I need to do a bit of cardio. I remember because I was so highly anxious growing up, I learned that it burns acetylcholines, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but metaphysically...
I want you to go into that detail. Don't skip it.
Well,
you're here because you're brilliant, and I want to share. We want to shine that light on you because you have this knowledge.
Well, so metaphysically, I'm an 11 path number, life purpose number.
Okay.
Which means double creativity and confidence. So what that also means is that I am very much wired to the opposite, which is double doubt and probably can't be bothered and absolutely no energy. So I work on myself all day long because my brain can easily go into self-doubt and not good enough and all that type of thing. So I find that for me is that I get to work that muscle in exercise, and I suppose I've done a few, like last year I did a charity bike ride in Vietnam, and I hadn't really ridden a bike much previous to that. But I love to set myself up with challenges and I suppose work my heart. That's what happens is you work your heart muscle, and then it becomes more open, more loving. And then in that space is that you become proud of yourself. You start to see yourself and, you know, you achieve things that you never thought. I achieved things that I never thought I'd be able to achieve. So then that builds self-love as well. So that's, I find, and you need to develop a bit of a strength in your body to manage all of the energy, because as you get lighter, you become more loving, you get a lot more energy, and so you need to feel quite strong. Oh, this is my perception, strong in your body, so that you can actually manage. Feel grounded, I suppose. You know, yeah. That.
So you mentioned something that I want to pick up on here, because this is interesting. So you talked initially about building your heart muscle emotionally, and then now you're talking about building it up actually physically.
Yes.
Those two are combined, aren't they?
They are.
That's brilliant. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Well, it was a friend of mine who actually said, "Well, Mal, you're working your heart muscle, and you're opening up to more love." And I was, wow, exactly. That's so right. And I find I get to do that because what do they say? When you do the hard stuff, life becomes easy. So I like to take myself out of my comfort zone when I'm doing the exercise, because then, you know, it opens up your heart muscle and you become, I suppose, more oxygenated and all those things as well. So that then when you've got to do other things in your business, then that becomes easy.
You have the physical strength to do it, which is really important. I think a lot of people kind of miss that one.
Yeah, but it's interesting because when you start doing this work and achieving in self-love, you just start making different choices.
True.
I have green smoothies in the morning. I used to think people that had green smoothies were weird. Breakfast? Now I love it.
That is for breakfast. They're fine. There's nothing wrong with a green smoothie in the morning.
Yeah, now I think they're great.
They caught on, huh?
Yeah. It took me a while.
Okay, oxygen, exercise, what else? Meditation's not on your list because you crossed that off already.
But you've got gratitude.
Okay, let's talk about that. That's a big topic.
So there's two ways, and I'm always about making it simple, and because otherwise you don't do it and you'll easily just sabotage it, and then it just reinforces your belief system that I'm not good enough or not worthy. So you've got to make it really simple and then build on these things. One of the things I do every morning is first thing, you get up, go to the toilet, I look in the mirror into my eyes and I tell myself that I love myself. And initially when I first started doing that, I didn't think it, believe it, was very uncomfortable. But then over time it started to work, and I teach my clients to say, I love and accept you exactly the way you are. And what that actually does is starts to build the limbic system in the brain, which is the emotional center. And that's the part of the brain that is didn't really get activated when we were young, because our parents didn't have unconditional love to give. So it's about giving yourself unconditional love to build that limbic system so that you can really open up that emotional center and start to feel more in life. And then the other one, that's like the nice simple one. And then the addition to that is at night, the last thing I do before I go to bed is I just write one line about what I appreciate about myself for the day. And then you get into feeling about how that makes you feel. And so say I was like, oh, I'm proud of myself today. I was interviewed in America. Wow. And then I go into my body and identify how it makes me feel. And then I allow that word to come out and feeling in my body, and then I build on that. So then I go, so say it makes me feel loved. And then loved makes me feel worthy. And then worthy makes me feel empowered. And then I feel those energies in my body, and what that does is that raises your vibration and your subconscious mind to be activating those nice emotions overnight, which then is less draining than fear-based emotions. So then over time you start to wake up with more energy, because when you go to bed in worry, then your subconscious mind is really, really active overnight. And secreting all of those fear-based emotions, and then because quite often you can wake up feeling like you haven't even had a sleep because your brain is so flat out all night. So it's really simple but really profoundly effective, and it builds that self-love as well.
Yeah, the mirror work that you mentioned actually does that. It actually gives you the strength, you know, the exercise of receiving. Because I think that's why we sort of reject that idea. It's like, I love myself. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, it's like, but if you're looking in the mirror, you're receiving that communication back.
Yes, yeah. And then you start to feel it in your heart. And it's like, oh, wow, that's really nice.
It took me a while. It took me a while to be able to do that, too. I mean, I have done that work as well. And it took a while. It was not easy to get to that point, but it did make a huge difference.
Yeah, it did. Everything takes time, but you've just got to set yourself up with ways to achieve these things, these tasks, these actions. This is why it's great for entrepreneurs, because they're already good at doing things. You know, they want to improve, they want to grow. So it's just setting those. You know, I used to put a sticker on my mirror. That way, I'd never forget. Because otherwise, easy to forget and sabotage your own success.
But you get carried away with the doing, right? And you forget about taking care of you. And that's a common process. And entrepreneurs are always looking for the next challenge.
Yeah.
What's the next problem we can solve? What's the next thing we can come up with? What's the next thing we can invent, you know?
Yeah, and this is the best one, is to work on yourself. Because, my number one strength is achiever. And so I was really good at achieving in force and fear. And I'm not good enough. So then I flipped it. Okay, I'm going to achieve in self-love now. So that's my goal now, every single day.
So is that number four on your list?
Well, number four is actually have fun.
Oh, I love this one. Yes, oh my God, absolutely.
That's my philosophy. Every day I get up and I set intention, I'm just going to have fun today. That's, you know, that's it for me, because my palliative care clients taught me that life is very short, and I actually live in today. I mean, I'm not perfect, I go off sometimes, but that is my intention, is just to live in the moment and live in the day and live every day like it's my last. because it certainly could be. So I always base my decisions on that so that then I don't have regrets, because that's the most important thing to me, because that's what I've learned from my patients. It's about, you know, that that's the greatest fear, is a fear of dying with regrets. So I really work on that every day to not have regrets. And, you know, that's sometimes that's uncomfortable, you know. I send love to people that challenge me, you know. Our family's always a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, family's always a good one to challenge you, no question about that. So when we talk about fun, this is an interesting topic because I know some people have a sort of a different opinion of it. For me, I could say I'm all having fun right now, but I'm actually working. You know what I mean? This is part of the business. I'm doing this, but I enjoy the work. And it's hard for me to figure out where that line is. Going to lie on the beach is fun, but this is fun too. But you kind of need both, don't you?
Well, you do, but I suppose it's balance. Like, I had fun, so much fun in palliative care work. I had so much fun working with people that were dying every day and in some really challenging situations, because for me, the fun means connection. So it's about connecting with people, making a difference, allowing them to feel safe, and that's what I really learned as a palliative care nurse. And it was so profound. It makes me emotional now, because they're in such a crisis and you walk in and they just go, oh, Mel's here. Everything's okay now. And it's just the power that we had, and it was just so beautiful. And they, you know, and they'd be there and their loved one is, you know, chain stoking, so breathing quite irregularly, and sometimes it can sound really horrible. And then they just say, Mel, is he okay? Or she, are comfortable? And then I know, because from my experience, you know, when they're comfortable or not. And most of the time, yes, they are very comfortable, and you just put them at ease and tell them that, and then they just totally relax, and it's just such a beautiful thing. And, you know, and for me that was fun, and I walked away with so much, you know, feeling so whole and full in my heart, and that I made a difference. And, that was fun. That was just, I just want to make a difference in the world and help people. And, you know, and it's the small things. It's not, you know, doesn't have to be anything huge, but it's just making a difference and connecting with people, you know, every single day. That's what's important to me, and that's what I find fun.
It's one of the things I teach my clients as well, is like, if you're in a job or in a position or something you really don't like, or in a marriage you're not really happy with, go back to the beginning, right? Because at the beginning you really wanted that job. At the beginning you really wanted to marry that person, right? So there was some excitement, there was some feeling, there was some emotion back then that's not there now. And if you can reconnect with it back then, the way it was, you know, you can sort of bring that same fun emotion back into today. And that's exactly what you did. As a nurse, you were in a situation where nobody would associate what you were doing with fun.
Yeah.
They would never put those two in the same sentence, because it's like people are dying everywhere. People are sick. They're, you know, it's like it's just a difficult situation, like you said. And you were able to find the fun in it.
Well, I tell you what you learn, Robert, is not to judge. That's what I've learned, is not to judge. I used to judge that, oh, that's so sad, that's horrible, that person's dying, they're going through this, they're going through that. And then I started to look at life a whole lot differently. I'm like, wow, they obviously, for some reason, they need to go through this, and I just want to be in service and help them, you know, as much as I can, to, I suppose, gain the gift in the situation. And then I started to see a whole lot of magic happen, a whole lot of healing, people coming together, relationships mending, building. And then I started to see, wow, okay, there's a bigger picture playing out here of why, you know, one person in the family would get cancer, and then take the other members of the family on this whole beautiful process. And then I saw a lot of people that lived alone and had, you know, very little family or friend support that got cancer. And that was the greatest blessing to them, because they left this world so loved, because they had all of us. And we would go in as a team and just, you know, love them. And there's a few, I remember one grumpy old man. But they loved it, you know, because the whole team would come in and they got to feel what love was and die that way. And And without the cancer, they never would have had that. They probably just would have died in their house and no one would have even known or cared about them. So there's a lot of gifts in it, and it's just coming. You start to, I suppose I became an entrepreneur very early because I learned to look for solutions. I learned to look for positivity and learned to look in, and this is the inner child stuff. Is you start to respond to life rather than react, and you start to look with curiosity. It's like, wow, I wonder what's going on here, like why this is all happening. And then you start to see the gifts and all of the pieces of the puzzle just, yeah, really start to come together.
Okay. That's the name of your next book.
What is it?
Learn to Respond, Not React to Life.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I do want to write another book.
I'm like, that really sounds great. We got to talk more about that one. Respond rather than react.
Thank you.
You said it. I just caught it.
Ooh, I love it. Yeah, I do want to get some more writing. Yeah, it's the key to success.
Tell me more about the respond, because I think a lot of us are in reaction mode all the time. So what does it look like to respond rather than react?
You start to manage your thoughts and your emotions. You start to stop and take a deep breath. And you teach yourself to just go look at life with curiosity. Because when we're so busy and we're in the hustle and bustle of things, we tend to think that life is happening to us. We're in victim mode, oh, that's bad. But when you start to learn to respond to life, and this is so important for entrepreneurs, is you start to take responsibility. Okay, why have I attracted this? This seems like a very bizarre, challenging, and I only got to where I am today because I've had quite a challenging life. And my mentor taught me to take responsibility for it. And then when you take responsibility, you have the power to act and change your circumstances. But when you're in reactionary mode, then you really stay in that victimhood. And in that fear base. But it's like you become the observer of your life and you're able to, you know, come out and take a bird's eye view and then go, I wonder why this is happening, why I've attracted this. And then from that place, you start to do a little bit more deeper work and then you can see the gift in the situation. And then you can see why, wow, if that didn't happen, then I wouldn't have learnt this. So then you can really... see that life is happening for you instead of to you.
That is the brilliance of this whole podcast today. That's it. That's the gem right there. That was beautiful. You know, you think about a child, very young child. They go through life and they're curious about life. They're not reactive, right? Mm. They don't know anything yet. So they're what's this? What's this? And they taste everything. They put everything in their mouth, right? And we had that. And somehow it got trained out of us.
Absolutely.
So you're now saying, you know, as an adult, get curious about life again. Ask those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
Find out, you know, what's going on and how you're bringing this into your life so you can make changes and make different decisions going forward.
Yes. And then you're in the wow factor. And then life becomes possible. Like a kid doesn't even think about how they're going to get on top. My brother used to get on top of the fridge. He
just gets on
top of it. He finds a way, doesn't he? Just goes, kids are, I am possible. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to go, oh, it's not possible. I can't do this. I can't do that. But, yeah, when you start to really get in that inner child, you're like, okay, I can do that.
How can I do this? Exactly. Yeah. So do you have another tip for us? You've got four. You've got oxygen, exercise, gratitude, fun. Is there anything more beyond fun?
Well, probably, yeah, live in the moment. As much, you know, and that's challenging because our mind's always looking at the future. But it really is just living in the moment and having gratitude and having your, I call it a circuit breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, our minds can... mine definitely. I used to go the worst case scenario. Loved worrying, loved it. And I'd just go, oh, this could happen, and then this could happen, and this could, and that could happen. And then over time, I was like, that was a waste of time. That drained all of my energy. I made that story up in my head and nothing even happened. So I had to start to train my brain. And the way I train my brain is to go straight to gratitude. So as soon as I start to feel self-doubt or worry or anything, I just bring myself straight back to the present, straight to gratitude. And then I look at, you know, it's the tiny, minuscule things. I'm like, wow, it's cold here in Melbourne. I've got heating today. Wow, that's fantastic. You know, what a miracle. Grateful for that. It's just coming back to the really, really simple things, and that just that circuit breaker. So that then it brings you back to your heart as well. And then that energizes you. And then you come back to your intuition rather than living in your head trying to work life out. Because in this entrepreneurial journey, you have to take massive leaps of faith. And you don't know it's going to work out, but you just have a go. And you have to, start to really live in your heart and have faith that you've got this and that anything is possible.
Well, intuition is one of those things a lot of people don't talk about, but every successful person I've ever met relies on intuition. It's just one of those things that's just not talked about a lot because people are afraid of what it is or what it isn't. And, you know, is it God? Is it not God? Is it the devil? You know, there's all this stuff around it. Yeah. But everyone I know who's really successful, they rely on it and they use it. It's a tool for them.
Yeah, I feel my way through life rather than think it now.
Yeah. You are amazing, Melanie.
Thank you, Robert. I will accept that compliment.
Absolutely amazing. So if we want, people want to find out more about you, they want to find out about your book, can you tell us a little bit about that and where would you like them to go to find more information from you?
Oh, great. Thank you. Well, they could go to my website. It's www.successonpurpose.net.au. And there's a resource page. So there's some free things there. There's a meditation. There's also, you can buy my book. And then there's other events and things there as well. And yeah, my book I wrote to my past self. So what I would have, it's my little book of wisdom, what I would have wanted to know when I was growing up, going through challenging times. And it's got, at the end of each chapter, it has three things you can do to access that parasympathetic nervous system. So teaching the body how to relax. So there's, that can build on the five that we've just talked about. There's a lot more in there that people can do. So they can download, you can buy it from there, or you can also, it's on Amazon and Amazon. And I've got it in some bookstores here as well, but I can, for people like the hard copy, I can test it out to America.
Do you have it as a digital download for people if they buy it on Amazon?
Yes.
Is it digital? Okay, good. So successonpurpose.net.au.
Yes.
Okay. What a great website. Yeah, the book is absolutely worth getting. I actually got to get a copy because I don't have one here. I want to get one. Find out more about this. This is really good stuff. Melanie, you're an amazing coach. Are you offering any coaching services if anyone wants to hire you?
Yes, absolutely. With clients I use Zoom, so we can easily work it out and do it over the computer. And I've actually found that I've done a lot of work over the phone, even with people not seeing them, their face, and it makes no difference. It's still as effective as if you're in person. And I do programs, so we work together every week for 3 months, so for 12 weeks. I just really found that that was the sweet spot to change those neural pathways in the brain so that the habits, the behaviours, the belief system, things start to become more permanent and start to move towards that space of love, I suppose, coming out of that space of fear. So we work, initially it's 90 minutes, then we work for 1 hour together every week. And really change things, how life, so you can really be responsible for life and excited about life and look at the challenges of life in a whole different way. And you really start to become energized too, which is the best way to be youthful.
I would highly recommend you go check out successonpurpose.net.au. Find out more about Melanie Taylor. She's just an amazing human being. Huge heart, as you can tell. Very loving, very caring about her people that she works with. And she's got lots of courses for you that you can take. She's got one-on-one coaching if you want to do it. Yes, she's in Australia. Yes, you might be in the United States, but it's okay. What is it here? It's 4:44 p.m. On Wednesday, and it's, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning for you.
Yes.
On Thursday, so you're a little bit ahead, but it's okay. You can work out those things. There's a lot of time scheduling systems online that'll give you the breakdown, so you can get together. Luckily, it's not in the middle of the night for either one of us.
This is actually
very easy for me, very easy for you. So if you want to work with her, don't be deterred by the fact that she's actually in Australia. How is the conversion rate between U.S. dollars to Australian dollars now? Do you know?
I would not have any idea, to be honest. Okay. I'm going to Bali. I'm going traveling at the end of September. So then I'll be looking at all that sort of thing. But yeah, I'm not sure right now.
Yeah. Because sometimes they're, you know, the value is different, and you know, $1,000 US is $500 Australian. You know, I don't know how it translates.
Yeah, well, don't worry, we'll work that out.
Yeah, that's not an issue. You don't have to worry about that kind of thing. Anything else you'd like to leave us with before we wrap up for today?
I'd just like to say thank you so much. This has been wonderful. And I love America so much. I've been there twice. I'm a mad Elvis fan. I've been to Memphis. And I want to come back sometime. I'd love to come and do some workshops and things. That would be really a dream come true.
I think you and I should do a workshop here in America. We got to get you back here.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. Wouldn't it be fun, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. It'd be awesome.
We're on the same vibrational path for a lot of different things. We kind of think the same way and see life the same way. And I think it would be brilliant to do something like that together.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm up for it. Let's organize something for next year.
You see, she's already manifesting great things. This woman's amazing. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Thank you so much for all that. Appreciate it. Much love.
Much love.
Thank you.